Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday early afternoon as we head into the evening hours. John Hansen here on WGN. All right. I know everyone is, I don't know, there's so many questions and topics we've had about masks and vaccines, but we're really entering an interesting phase here of employers now requiring people to have a vaccine to show up for work. This has been, you know, litigated out for a lot of people, but we're still kind of in untested waters. So joining us right now is the director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs for the University of Illinois System, Robin Fretwell Wilson. Professor Wilson, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Oh, happy to do it, John. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to bring you on to talk specifically about religious exemptions for the COVID-19 vaccine, because religious exemptions for vaccines is nothing new. It's required, right, at least from what my interpretation is, for employers to at least allow a religious exemption. Can you talk a little bit about the history of that and why that is the case?
Yeah, well, let me start with the, most important legal guidance, which is the U.S. Constitution. So in the First Amendment, we have the right to free exercise of religion. And of course, we have on the opposite side of that, too, that the government cannot establish a religion. And so it's like in the space between those two clauses is sort of where the whole question of religious exemption sits. You know, so let's say that that I'm somebody who believes in faith healing and that I don't believe in modern medicine, but I'm doing my job. I'm working. The Constitution says that I have the right to free exercise of religion. And it means that, you know, in effect, there's going to be a burden on the government to explain why it needs to burden that free exercise. Okay, my view that I don't need to be vaccinated or should not be vaccinated. It gets a little bit interesting during the COVID era, John, because we've had these cases that I call the church worship, you know, the worship, COVID worship cases. But basically, at one time, the Supreme Court seemed to be following a very famous case about peyote. You may know this case, the Smith decision. Okay, so, you know, weirdly, you don't smoke peyote, you ingest it. And there's like a set of Native Americans that would ingest a kind of hallucinogen and it would bring them closer to God. So that was the basic idea. And they were ingesting peyote in Oregon. They end up, getting fired from their jobs because it's illegal drug use. Rocks all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. For a very long time, the court, before that, for decades before that, had said that a burden on religion would be subject to the highest scrutiny. In other words, the government was likely, you know, to have its rule tossed. And then in Smith, they sort of backwalked in a decision by Justice Scalia, right, who's like the arch conservative. And he said, well, we can't have religious people all be a rule unto themselves. So you can't be like having these people over here doing their peyote and those people over there doing their animal sacrifice. So, you know, if it's a neutral rule of general applicability, Smith said, government's likely to win. But during COVID, we had all these cases about churches being closed, you know, and you'll remember mm-hmm. in Nevada, there'll be like a church that's completely empty and then a casino that's clogged with people and it's just running full time,
right.
You know, and you're like, what? And so a lot of, you know, religious people brought suit in New York and in California, Nevada, all over the country under Smith and said, well, there's an exception that says you can't target religion. And long story short, this court has said that, yeah, this stuff is looking like targeting of religion because you're treating religion, quote, more harshly than other people. So what's that mean for the vaccines? Well, if you start giving out a bunch of medical exemptions and you're not, you know, respecting people's religious views, that's going to look, I think, like the COVID worship cases. It's going to look like you're harshing on religion and not these other things. And from a legal perspective, that means it'll get kicked into high scrutiny.
Because they're going to allow some medical exemptions for legitimate reasons, right? Like allergies or adverse reaction fears or, I don't know, some immunocompromised level where it's a dangerous situation. If there's a bunch of those allowed, but not for religion, then that would kick it into high gear as opposed to if it was only a religious issue. And it would just... It would give it more scrutiny is what you're suggesting. And then.
Yeah, it would. Okay. It would make it harder for the government to hold its rule. Okay. So, now, private employers, by the way, don't have to, you know, they're not subject to the U.S. Constitution. They're subject, as you said before we started the interview, with Title VII. So they, you know, Congress sort of grabs them in a different part of the legal apparatus. But for a state employer like mine, that's government.
Mm-hmm. What about, and I would imagine for city employees, like we're talking about police a lot here in, and I know Los Angeles too, they're saying that upwards of a quarter of Los Angeles police officers are going to claim religious exemption. Would they fall under this, under the, as government employees under that rule?
Yeah, I think they do. You know, unless they're somehow, you know, being provided lock key by some private company like a Rent-A-Cop or something. But yeah, if they're like straight up government employees, they claim First Amendment protection and protection under the California Constitution, too.
And you would argue, or I guess what you're saying is that the ultimate ruling may be that there's really not, you can't do like a shibboleth, like with a government employee. You can't ask them to provide records of how often they've gone to church or notes from pastors or, some sort of test for a government employee to prove that they are indeed religious.
Yeah, so they can't really go trying to test because it very quickly will slide into establishing, in a sense, one view of religion as proper and another not.
Okay? Right.
And it's just not for the government to weigh on these things because who knows which of these views is ultimately the one that accords with God. Who knows, you know? So we don't, in this country anyhow, want to try to go there. There is a piece of it, though, that is sort of interesting. I mean, we might test hypocrisy. And what I mean by that is we might test, okay, you say you can't get a vaccine, but then you're getting something, or let's say you claim that you can't take modern medical care, but then we surreptitiously find out that, you know, you're using shots for your knee. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that the way you've stated your claim and your actual action don't line up. Okay. But I think people are really loath to look at that too, because that feels very invasive and disrespectful of people's stated views. But you might have somebody try this to test the sincerity of it that way.
What about if you have taken other vaccines? I mean, I guess you could argue that you've changed your religious views since you were a child or the last vaccine you've taken, right? And that's mm-hmm. a hard test to overcome too.
Yeah, you have the right to be a defector from your own view. It's sort of funny. You have a right to change your religious view. So let's say you were always Roland Baptist and now you're like, you know, Scientologist, you can do that. And the Scientologists, you know, are one of the groups that at least some members don't believe in modern medicine. They believe in faith healing. And I'll tell you, John, you know, religious people have gotten extraordinary amounts of protection for religious views. I have a piece called By Faith Alone and a whole book that's about the contested place of religion and family law. And, you know, state lawmakers have given exceptions to treating your child when they need medical care. And those exceptions are real and very costly, actually. They're more than what the Constitution requires. But like in one state, Idaho, where I was working recently, the infant mortality rate in one community, the Followers of Christ, was 10 times the rest of the state. 10 times. You could go into this community and count the number of child graves. And that's the degree to which we've protected religious claims. I think COVID has really tested our commitment to that, because I think we realize if children die in the Followers of Christ community, and I'm not trying to sound harsh, but it is a kind of, well, that's them, right, sort of feeling. That's their community. Who are we to say? But in COVID, if you're not getting vaccinated, You know, I think President Biden is right that it does implicate all of us. Now, that doesn't tell you what to do. OK, it doesn't tell you whether to give an exemption. But I do think COVID has changed our appetite, let's just say, John, for trying to respect everybody's views, even if some of us are like, whoa, that seems sort of kooky.
All right, so that is the take on government employees claiming a religious exemption to getting the vaccine. The professor stating that for many parts, the government doesn't really have too much rights for government employees to dig into their claims of religious exemption. And that's why a lot of folks, again, in Los Angeles, firefighters and police officers claiming religious exemption, thinking that the government won't go after that exemption. It'll be interesting to have to see what she has to say about private employees. Most of us are not government employees. So is that different? The professor will talk about that after the news on WGN. Good Sunday evening, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. John Hanson here, continuing our conversation with Professor Wilson about vaccine exemptions for religion. And in the last segment, Professor Wilson, just to kind of sum it up, you were talking about government employees mainly, and that they really do have quite an extensive right to claim religious exemption for a vaccine, and the government doesn't really have too much at their disposal or really the right to question someone too deeply about that religious exemption. But when it comes to private employees, it's a whole nother ballgame. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, the source of it in this particular case for private employees comes from Title VII. You know, and Title VII is one of our foundational civil rights laws. It applies to employers of a certain size. So you have to have more than 15 or more employees. And it says that employers have to reasonably accommodate an employee's religious belief or practice. Okay. And so think about the archetypal case. You have somebody who at 4 o'clock wants to take a moment in their office and pray, you know, on a mat. Okay. Mm-hmm. We ought to try to do that for those folks, right? We let people take smoking breaks, right?
Right.
People, you know, and so I think the impulse behind Title VII is exactly right. It gets harder when you get to questions like this because you're thinking, okay, what's your religious belief or practice? Okay, so now it's not to be vaccinated when I'm just trying to say how it would get tripped, okay? Mm-hmm. But it'd be something like your employer says everybody here to keep everybody safe has to be vaccinated. And then this person says, but I can't do that because God directs me otherwise. Now we want to try to accommodate that religious belief or practice. Now, in Title VII, there are safeguards for the employer. It says that it has to be a reasonable accommodation, and it can't introduce an undue burden to the employer. And I give you, if you're interested in what those kind of things mean, I can give you a pretty good case. Okay, so like an example of that is, imagine you have let's shift to a different topic that people have deep religious beliefs about, and that would be abortion. Okay. So this very famous case out of the Third Circuit called Shelton. In Shelton, we had a woman, a nurse, and she didn't want to perform abortions. And so the question was, could she be transferred to the NICU? Would that be a reasonable accommodation of her religious belief that as a nurse, she could not take a life? But then it has to work itself out on the ground. So let's say I need to go to the NICU, John, and you're already attached there. Do we suddenly kick John out of the NICU so that Robin's religious belief about abortion can be sort of staffed around? You see the problem?
Mm-hmm.
It implicates the organization's operations. It implicates coworkers. It might make scheduling a real, you know, task for the employer, and it gets sticky fast.
So if it really puts an undue burden on the employer to move things around, pay people differently, shift their operations, they're offered a little bit more cover in this case.
Yeah, in a sense that it's like it's a, you know, we like to say in the law, balancing test, but really Title VII is that. I mean, the balance is it's like the prayer mat, the person with the prayer mat. We want to try to do this up to a point, but then if it's like going to make it impossible for all the rest of this stuff to work, the employer has a backstop there. They have the ability to say, no, I can't make this work. And then go to your COVID now for a second and your vaccines. Let's say we lived in a society where everybody was down with the vaccine except for one dude. Okay, one guy. Could we staff around that and afford one exemption? Probably. Can we afford, I don't know. I mean, when it gets to be a wide scale set of people trying to say we're going to jump out of a public health protection, I think it starts to become unworkable really fast.
So based on what I'm hearing, if it is a, you know, a mass amount of people, and that's going to put an undue burden on the employer who cannot in good conscience, or I guess in good practice, accommodate for all those people, then those employees may be susceptible to getting fired.
Yeah. You know, there's one more statute we didn't get to, John. I mean, I think that's right. Okay. Let me tell you about one more statute, though. You remember Hobby Lobby?
Yes.
Remember, you know, contraceptive coverage case? Well, you know, the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act doesn't apply to state laws. But if a state law said state mandated a vaccine, in the 23 states now that have Religious Freedom Restoration Acts, the question would be, does that act overstep or override the state law mandate? Okay, now I'm not talking about a private employer throwing this on people. I'm talking about a set of lawmakers saying private employers can. Okay, so in Hobby Lobby, you'll remember that Hobby Lobby, the company, did not have to provide contraceptive coverage to its women employees or men who have wives or somebody in their life, daughters that want them or whatever, didn't have to do that. And basically because the state couldn't show, or the government, U.S. government couldn't show a compelling interest in that, they bracketed that question and they had a less restrictive means. And the less restrictive means, ironically, had been created by President Obama, who said that for religious nonprofits like Notre Dame, you know, the federal, you know, exchange insurer under the ACA would provide the coverage so that women, you know, got the thing with no hassle, he said, no wait, and religious person wasn't put in the position of doing it. Okay, so what's all that mean here? It means that if the state threw down a legal mandate and they have a RFRA, religious people would be able to come back and say, hey, yeah, so I have the right under that not to have to do this. And mm-hmm. you, the state, are going to have to explain why you have a compelling interest in my being vaccinated, me personally, and not giving me an exception. And you have no less restrictive means. And then that takes you back to one of the subjects of your other radio shows, John, which is masking. So like, if you can't throw down the mandate on particular people because of RFRA, then the less restrictive means is to say, okay, how about you test every single day and wear a mask? Maybe that is kind of like the prayer mat. We're trying to respect people's wishes about things like vaccine, but they have to kind of step up to it too, right? They have to make a concession to try to make it work.
I imagine that we are going to see a handful of court cases in the coming future about this. I imagine you anticipate that too.
Yeah. No, I do. I think they're coming. There's no way they're not. I mean, so I think one thing to remember, you know, there's a lot here for democracy and transparency and realizing that even in the middle of a pandemic, to quote one of our justices, you know, we haven't put the Constitution away. We don't put it away.
Look, it's an infectious disease that moves through a community quick. Constitutional law doesn't move that quick, but we still have to honor it and respect it and that process. And that's hard. Professor, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure, John. Okay, talk to you soon anytime.
All right, Professor Wilson there. It was a great conversation. It gets really heady, right, about all the previous jurisprudence and laws that have been written. But I think the general takeaway is if you have a private employer, you're way less likely to be able to claim religious exemption. You can certainly try for a vaccine, but it could face more scrutiny, that question. And if a lot of people at your workplace claim a religious exemption as a private employee, that could cause some issues. And your employer kind of has a right to say, well, that doesn't work. But if you're a government employee and it's the government asking you, it's a whole different ballgame. Just some of the nuance discussions here about religious exemptions. And again, the reason I asked and wanted to have the professor talk about it is there's so many cases right now. New York just ruling, a federal judge saying that the state cannot impose a vaccine mandate on healthcare workers without allowing their employers to consider religious exemption requests. And also stories of pastors in all sorts of places across the country posting form letters for workers anywhere. It doesn't have to be part of his congregation seeking religious exemption. He has a form that you can fill out. It's been downloaded 40,000 times. So that's going to this is going to be a huge issue. And the courts obviously don't move as quick as COVID-19. And it's just one of the fascinating things we have moving forward.